It was Charles Wesley who wrote those amazing words. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. It's the whole of our Christian lives in a nutshell, in one line, really. The difficulties, the certainty of death, but also the hope and the glory to come. Because we meet here together to recognise the truth. We are all made in the image and likeness of God. We are all made to live forever. And the question is, where will we be when this life is past? The theme today is about faith. I'm going to preach on it directly. What is faith? And also, what is this very human fear that grips us when we're short of faith? Last Sunday's service began with some long readings, including the story of Doubting Thomas. And Doubting Thomas is one of our examples of people like us who want more. He didn't believe. And I'm going to do a short reading early on. We're going to have two readings. And we're going to have the reading about Doubting Thomas. Why this reading about Doubting Thomas again? Well, it's set 1 week after the resurrection of Jesus, and we're 1 week later, too. But the second reason is, of course, we've got someone we can identify with here, Thomas. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the disciples on the evening of the first day of the resurrection. He'd missed out on seeing Jesus for himself. And perhaps some of us know what it's like to feel left behind. I've missed out in some way. I'm short of something. I need something more. And let's hear about Thomas.
Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Well, Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." But when Jesus stood among them and invited Thomas to do all those things, Thomas didn't need to. Jesus himself was enough. Thomas just cried out, "My Lord and my God." He was doubting Thomas no more. And we need to be like him. Jesus is enough. Jesus, the Word of God, is enough. And Jesus closes this reading with a blessing, not just for Thomas, but all of us who have not seen, but have believed. This is a walk of faith we're called to. Jesus says to Thomas and to us all, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.
Jesus says, we should say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. That means humility. And it also means other unpopular words like surrender and acceptance. We are here to do God's will and not our own. We've been saved to serve. Why is Jesus giving a picture of this servant? What's the connection with the disciples' question? They asked, Lord, increase our faith. Add to our faith. We always want more. We haven't got enough. I'm not equipped. I can't do it. If only something or other, then I'd be able to, whatever it is. It's holding me back. Help me, Lord. And Jesus cuts through their request with something extreme. It's an extreme figure of speech. I mentioned it at a recent service. It's a fancy Greek word, hyperbole, when somebody exaggerates ridiculously to try and make a point. You know, like I could say here, you know, ooh, I'm freezing, I'm like an icicle. Well, I'm not like an icicle, but I do feel the cold these days. But, you know, it's to make your point. Jesus is making an extreme point because he wants to get the message across. And he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. I did this a few weeks ago, and I thought, shall we interrupt the sermon with some examples of what is faith like a mustard seed? Here are some mustard seeds. Is there anybody youngish and fit who'd like to just distribute a few mustard seeds around? I am looking at Stefan, but if anybody's interested, just show them what a mustard, give some mustard seeds out. There's definitely enough to go round, by the way, because there is always enough faith. That is a point of Jesus' message. We think it's not enough, but faith isn't the issue. It's what do we actually do? Just to make this clear, Jesus says, if you could actually say to the sycamore tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, it would obey you with faith like a mustard seed. The issue is not how much faith we have, but whose orders we're following. Well, but we still don't get this image. We stumble over it. The point Jesus is trying to make is, if God has something for you to do, he will equip you to do it, and it will get done. But we misunderstand even this extreme example. We think of another example of Jesus, again, making a similar point in Mark. The amazing power that is available from God. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Thank you. Perfect. Perfect timing, Stefan. And can we all look at our mustard seed again? The point is, it is enough. The second part is what we keep missing. Our faith is to help us to serve God, because whose will is it? It's God's will that matters. We're the servants. And we need to check our connection with the Almighty. Has he asked us to move any trees or mountains this week? If he has, go and do it. But rather, has he not called us to do the everyday things that he has set before us? Ploughing the fields, sowing seeds, tending the sheep. The call is, are we putting the Lord first and putting our own desires and wishes to one side? Our faith shows up in what we do for the Lord. Our faith shows up in our obedience to God. It's not my idea, this. Jesus is telling his disciples precisely this, and so does the Bible, actually, over and over again. Faith is action. Faith is doing our duty. Faith is obedience to God. The book of James, for example, Jesus' half-brother. It actually says faith only shows up in action when we get going. Here it is, James 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you tells him, go in peace, stay warm and well fed, but does not provide for his physical needs, what good is that? So too, faith, by itself, if it does not result in action, is dead. How clear is that? And just one last example from Scripture, Hebrews 11, one of the famous chapters on faith, with a list of heroes. The first half of chapter 11 is a list of heroes remembered for what they did. Abel offered the more excellent sacrifice compared with Cain. Noah believed God and prepared an ark. Abraham left his wealthy lifestyle in Ur because God called him to go on the road to that heavenly city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're on our journey too. And our simple task is to make sure we know what God has for us to do on our way. And Jesus, teaching his disciples there, when they asked about faith, he didn't say, build a mighty ark like Noah. He didn't say, go and set free and liberate a whole nation like Moses. But he gave an example of just a simple servant doing ordinary, everyday things. That servant should be our example too. God puts in front of us each day what he has for us to do. The first thing we have to do is acknowledge God's power and his authority to set in front of us what he chooses and get on with it. More than just get on with it, to be grateful. Here's a call from the Bible, from 1 Thessalonians. We need to be grateful for what God has set in front of us, even when it's difficult. The call is rejoice evermore. Keep praying. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've got written here, you can't be serious, Dominic. Is this really the call? It is. I know some of us are thinking, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm facing right now. I don't, but God does. The Bible is full of ridiculously extreme examples of people in very bad circumstances. And I thank God, for one, for these ridiculous examples. Just one example right now before coming back to us. What about the extreme example in the Bible of Job? He had a successful business empire, farming empire, trading. He lived in the land of Uz. I'm not quite sure where Uz was. But he was there. Everything was going well, and he honoured God. But a series of ridiculously bad things happened to him, and I'm going to list them. So they didn't have email or telephones in those days. It was messengers coming to give news. Messenger one, all your farming stock, all the draft animals, the oxes and asses, have been seized by Sabaeans, and all your farm workers were killed. Then immediately a second messenger comes. All your sheep and shepherds have been burned up by a mysterious fire from above. All gone. And then a third messenger. The Chaldeans have come and stolen all your camels for trading and killed all your camel herders. Trading business gone. And the last, very personal, fourth messenger. Told you it was extreme. Your eldest son's house collapsed and killed all your seven sons and daughters. And Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Perhaps some of us have come close to Job's experiences, or in a time like that now. What are we to do in bad circumstances? I've already mentioned acceptance. The Lord reigns. He has allowed those things to happen. What we need is grace and strength from the Spirit of God to carry on. And we need wisdom as to how to do that. I do have good news as we approach our communion service. When we pray for wisdom, it is the one prayer that God guarantees to answer. It's in our Lord's half-brother's letter, James. If any of you lacks wisdom, they should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. I can assure you that when we're desperate enough, and God is our only hope, he does hear us. He will hear us and give us the wisdom we need and the strength. We're not alone. We can leave fear behind and ask for help. And when we cry out like that in faith, and our prayers for wisdom and strength are answered, we find that more of God's word is actually being fulfilled. Right at the start of Hebrews chapter 11, there's a definition, if you like, of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we cry out in faith, that's the beginning, that's the substance, our prayers of what we hope for. Please give me more wisdom. Please give me strength to get through this. But what follows is evidence of things not seen, evidence of God's power coming in and answering our prayers. And we find that God himself is working alongside us, giving us the strength and the wisdom that we need. One closing extreme example. Jesus cried out in desperation and anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before his arrest and trial and crucifixion. And he cried out this, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus is our example of perfect surrender. And what happened immediately after that prayer, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. May we all know the love and the strength and the power of Almighty God this morning, and seek to serve him always. Amen.